Okay, so first of all, Andrew, I want to thank you for your service to KPFA. As I've said before, I think you were in literally an impossible situation, and nonetheless, I think you've given it your best, and I think we all appreciate that. I'm also glad that we made the change with the new morning configuration. I certainly personally like the show, and I think a lot of other people do as well. My question has to do with the $1 million. Is this a, to your understanding, is this $1 million network-wide? Do you know how it's allocated station by station, and also how it's allocated between staff and other types of cuts?
It's more than $1 million. It's network-wide. I don't know what the exact figure is.
And do you know how it's allocated by station and within stations?
I don't know. My understanding is Pacifica plays a flat rate. I think it's $50,000 a month for Democracy Now, for our stations and for the affiliates. And it's a flat rate that Pacifica pays.
Either I'm not being clear, you're not. There's $1 million cut that you mentioned.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were talking about Free Speech Radio, Democracy Now,
no.
Free Speech Radio News. Okay.
Okay. So,
yeah, it's going to hit KPFA pretty hard because we have more full-time equivalents than other stations.
So, do you know how much of the $1 million is being allocated to KPFA in terms of cutting our budget?
I think rough numbers would be $250,000 to $300,000.
And is that, has someone told you that that has to come out of staff?
So far, yes, but that has, I mean, I don't see that as categorical. That the national board dictated that there would be a $1 million cut in staff salaries. So I guess it means staff salaries, but it may be negotiable, but we're not at that point yet.
God, I hate to sound so stupid, but when did the national board on which I sit make that decision?
Well, maybe Tracy can clarify. I heard this from the executive director, Dan. I'm sharing this information. I think it's important for the board to know and for our listeners to know, just to be as transparent as we need to be.
Oh, sure. No, I'm not blaming you. I'm just, as a national board member, it's nice
that.
To have the news about a decision I apparently made.
Right.
Thank you. Okay, so next is Janet, followed by Kate.
Hi, Andrew. I wanted to also thank you for your service, having come in a very difficult environment and situation that has continued to this day. What I wanted to ask you about has to do with this chart, which I know is not your chart. But it does not include the costs for the different programs, specifically the paid programming, which if that were calculated, I'm curious, it kind of, in some cases, it cancels out some of the pledges. Can you give us some feedback about that? For different programs, do you have any information?
Not specifically. Obviously, like a program like the Morning Mix, and I hear this a lot, has no resources, and that's essentially true. We're going to be meeting with the Mix very soon to talk about this is going to be discussed. I don't know where the resources are going to come from because we don't have any money. We have less than no money. The Morning Mix, as the upfront program, is using news resources. So there is a cost coming out of the news, but it actually means that less money is being spent in the news and some money is being transferred to the morning. And it actually means that the news department's working harder than they were because they have to work at both ends of the day, actually. But yes, it does cost a little bit, as does Mitch's program, of course. There are paid producers, and we could go through absolutely and deduct those expenses. It's a good question, but in some sense it's a moot question because we have a staff and the staff has to be paid. So what difference does it actually make? I actually don't know. We have to pay the staff. I mean, it's a whole other huge discussion. I've said this before. If you look at KPFA as a system and you look at the energy coming in and what you get out, which would be the yield, which would be the programming, we get energy into the system from our membership drives. We get about $3 million a year in from that, and then we get an enormous amount of free energy from our volunteers. We get so much free energy from our volunteers, we don't even know what to do with it. And it's free energy, and it's a great asset. And then, of course, we have our expenses. We have 1.7 million of staff we have to pay for. And you could argue, and this is not an anti-union comment, you could argue we're paying for this, and we've got this for free. Why are we paying for that? I mean, if you were in your household, you'd talk about that on your own business. And there are reasons for that. It's just the way it's become. Back in 1995, the CPB said you've got to have a healthy stations project, and every station, if you want to get money from us, you've got to have 5.5 full-time positions. And out of that, they suggested strip programming, build audience, make more money. As a result of that, stations now have larger staffs and paid programmers on the air. It wasn't like that when I was in Pacifica in the 80s. It's a different system. But it's a good question, but I don't have the specifics to the answer of working out those costs against the expenses.
Thank you. So now it's Kate, and then we're moving to the second round, unless there's somebody who hasn't spoken for the first time who'd like to speak. Okay, and then so the second round speakers are David, Donald, Tracy, and Sasha. So Kate, go ahead.
Hi, Andrew. Thank you. Everybody else has thanked you. I think I would just congratulate you on having survived. But I also want to thank you for what I think is a wonderful example that you have set for the rest of us. I don't know about everybody else here, but I don't relish coming here once a month and sitting in a position of intransigence with absolutely no movement, no dynamism, no apparent seeking for a third way. And I think if nothing else, you've certainly set us a wonderful example of having not looked to the other side for ways to change or beat them, but looked to yourself for a way that you could change yourself and create a different sort of movement. And I think all of us who've ever been in a relationship that we're committed to, but in which we have conflict, hard conflict, we know we can't change other people. We can only change ourselves and hopefully create the opportunity for a different landscape and a dynamic, positive change. So with that in mind, I thank you so much. It doesn't mean that I have now changed colors or coats or that I've capitulated or sold my soul. I'm still upset about things that I was upset about before, but I want to move forward. I see this as a third way, and I don't want to beat the other side. I don't want to be beaten. I want KPFA to move forward, and I really think that's a legacy that we should cherish and use as an example.
Thank you, Kate. David's asked to be taken off the list, so it's Donald, Tracy, and Sasha. Donald, go ahead.
So thanks for the explanation, Andrew, and thank you for stepping up and being courageous and saying, screw this, you're going to just do the right thing. Having said that, let me piggyback on a couple of things here, because you just did a mantra about, well, if we have people who are just volunteers and unpaid staff, then we really have a cheap radio station, no problem. We won't have any cost runovers. The only problem with that is you also won't have any listeners, as has been amply demonstrated by the experiment from 7 to 9, which has not only hurt that time frame, but has hurt the entire station. And so if you want an explanation of why our money is going down, in addition to us being in an economic depression, and every other station going down on the Pacific Network, I think that's pretty clear about what has happened here. If there are to be job cuts, and I'm not convinced, and I haven't seen any data yet to indicate anything about that, I would hope that this time around, the issue of job sharing would be proposed and promoted and insisted upon, just as they do in Germany. God forbid we should learn from Germany, right? The third point I'd like to make is, so we're KPFA, we keep losing money here. KCSM is across the bay. Now, everybody's going to tell me there's a different model. That's just jazz, and it doesn't matter. But they managed to raise their money during every fund drive. And the issue becomes then, what is it about their listeners that is so totally different from our listeners that's turning our people off from donating to the station, whereas they are getting what they need to keep all their staff on board? Because I listen to them pretty regularly, and I know a couple of people there. And actually, one of them is also at KPFA, Greg Bridges, right? One of our nighttime people. Third point, so I'd also like to know, I'd also love to see a comparison before you leave, and I know you won't have time to do it, but let's just put it on the agenda. Compare KPFA to KALW, which is an NPR station across the bay, which does similar programming to ours, in terms of the political content, though not as left as ours. And let's see what their model is and how they're doing, whether they're drowning also, or whether they're maintaining their listenership by having programming that reaches to a wider audience rather than the choir. And I really want to introduce that term, the choir, into every debate, every conversation we have here. Do we really want this station to just talk to the choir of 3,000 people?
Thank you. Thank you. Do you want to respond, or do you want to hear from, there are two more people who, okay. Tracy, followed by.
Well, I'm happy. Is that on? Okay. I'm happy to hear about law and disorder. That's one of the programs that KPFA's Program Council reviewed years and years ago and strongly suggested putting it on the air. It's superb. Okay. Some of these rumors that come from God knows where. WBAI hasn't signed a lease. I know that for a fact. At the end of the year, perhaps, that's in December, that's when the current lease expires. Democracy Now! Free Speech Radio News, again, some wacky numbers floating around. It's about 1.1 million to DN. It's been approximately that high for a long time because the contract is out of whack with the revenues that it's bringing in. And Free Speech Radio News, probably last I saw, is about 120. It may have slipped to about 130 and 140. And the reason for that, and this is unfortunate for FSRN because they do not have the diversity of funders that would help them to survive. They're too dependent on Pacifica, and it's painful. And that is because the CPB money that was due in April has still not arrived because the audit has not been completed, because it was started 3 months late, because of last year's audit committee, and so we are paying for that. There's $609,000, and that is how FSRN would be paid, and of course they can't be paid because we don't have the money. That $609,000, the ETA is now July. About the layoff language, I don't quite know what's, it sounds like sort of one of those bad games of telephone where by the time something travels 3, 4, 5 people down the line, you don't even recognize it anymore. But the business about $1 million in expense reductions throughout the network basically came from the auditor when we were taking a look at the financial results. From 2010 to 2011, the bottom line was that we reduced expenses by $1 million network-wide, and we increased revenue network-wide by $1 million. And what the auditor said is, well, if you want to get this going concern label off, you're going to have to repeat those results in 2012, which we are not on target to do. The revenue generation part is challenging. The revenue expense part is perhaps more concrete. It is $1 million network-wide. That's annualized, so of course it will only impact for the second half of this fiscal year. And it's expense reduction by any means possible. There's no staff-only requirement, and no one has said that I'm aware of, and it will be proportional by the size of station budget, which is, of course, the fair way to do it. If you divided it equally among all five stations, you'd be demanding $200,000 in cuts each from two stations that, you know, where one station has a budget that's half the size of the other. So, of course, you can't do that, and it's proportional. Okay. Thank you, Mal.
Sasha. Sasha's our last person.
I would be interested in your response. I think Donald started it. Let me put it this way. This is how I regard things. It's easier to, you know, if you've got paid programming, you know, paid people who are paid to put together on a program, and the program is good, and we get a lot of contributions for it, that also plays a role in handing over an audience to what is on the air next, as I view it. And so there is a danger in having too much programming, or all programming, because we need to do these sorts of budget cuts, in which we don't have a lot of good paid programs, because it will affect things negatively, obviously, the way I look at it. So I wanted your opinion of that, because it seems to me that not only did the new program bring in a whole lot of money, even though it was put together in 3 days, which is the most amazing thing as somebody who comes out of radio and media I've ever heard of before in my life, and it is taking the exact same staff who have to also help out with news throughout the day and in the evening, to some extent. And to me, it's just absolutely phenomenal. And also the program that follows it, Morning Mix, did a whole lot better than it has in the past. But it's also handing over, you know, that audience. So I wanted you to reflect on that, because I think there may be some misunderstandings here on the board in terms of the role the really good program plays. It's not just how much does it cost in terms of the salaries and how much did it really bring in, but what happens next because of that good program. And I think Democracy Now!'s role, and I'd like your reflection on this as well, you may disagree with me, has changed because it is available so many other places that it's no longer playing quite the role it did for us in the past in terms of setting up an audience in the morning, and the role of the morning audience, because, you know, people start out a certain way in the morning and so forth. And then I just want to throw this out really quickly, because and it just may be me. I mean, I may not be the majority of people. I haven't been able to listen to Upfront too often because I don't start listening at 7 a.m. And I can hear it on my computer, but that means I have to be doing something mindless in my office so that I can actually be paying attention to what's said. I would love it to be on at 8 instead of at 7. So I just throw that out there. But anyway, your reflections on these things. Thank you.
I want to acknowledge paid staff are very important. I'm not saying they're not important. I'm not saying we should just have an all-volunteer radio station. Just looking at the phenomena, one of the phenomena of community radio was and is that we can have volunteer programmers and people will pay for it. And it's an amazing experiment that started right here in Berkeley, as everybody knows, and it's spread around the world. But at some point, programmers got paid. So it's really somewhat of a different model now. We're like a hybrid model. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm just acknowledging that we do have this tremendous potential influx of unpaid people that any community radio station can use and do use in other places. Just very briefly in that regard, I think there probably is a need to reorganize the structure at KPFA. I would suggest that. I think this will be one of the discussions that will come out of this the staff reduction or cost, let's call it cost reduction, because I heard it was staff reduction. I think there probably are some other areas we can cut costs as well. And I want to just refer back to what Donald talked about, the idea of job sharing like Germany. I thought that was really interesting. I'd be very interested in that, some kind of system. I mean, that's very interesting. I mean, it may be necessary. I don't quite know how that works, but I think that's a great suggestion. Right. The Democracy Now, yes, it's just not making as much money as it used to. It's still a good program, but as Henry said, we've all acknowledged it's on many other places as well now. Was there anything else you had? Okay, you asked me to compare the model. You're asking about KCSM and KALW. Well, I mean, KALW is quite a different model. It runs programming from National Public Radio, which is a public program service, as you know, and American Public Media, again, that runs a lot of those programs. It has some very good local programs, too. But it's a national public radio model, and it takes corporate underwriting. And doesn't KALW take corporate underwriting?
Yes.
I think they do, don't they? Yeah. They do not take underwriting? Okay, I'm wrong on that. That's very interesting. Okay. Yeah, so perhaps others would be more equipped to answer that question. I mean, I'm not...
But are they losing?
Well, I hear they're gaining listeners, probably gaining some of our listeners, actually, and they're doing pretty well. They raised their income, and Sharam would know, within 1 week, in a kind of a soft fundraise, they raised what they needed, which was not as much as... I think it was about $250,000, wasn't it? A little over? It was much smaller than our requirements.
We need something to learn from.
Okay. We can't do this. I'm sorry.
Want to drill down or not?
Okay. I'm sorry. We really have to move along. We're past the time this agenda item was allocated for this agenda item.
Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you. Pam Drake has asked to speak. Okay. So I think we're at the end. Janet, yes?
So could Anthony respond to David's question about UPSO?
I was coming to that. I want to thank Andrew very much for coming and making the report and participating in the discussion. Anthony, you can do it now or you can do it during the UPSO report, under committee reports, whatever you like.
Yeah, either is okay with me. It's up to whatever the board wants to do.
Well, go ahead.
We have an UPSO report coming anyway.
Okay, let's do it that way. You'll do it under the UPSO report. Okay, so we're done. Thank you all very much. You're all very well behaved. I appreciate it. Now we're ready to, if the board, with the board's permission, we'll do the public comments. I don't know if you're here to, I know Betty indicated to me she wasn't going to make a public comment. Eileen, do you want to be on public comments? And I'm sorry, I don't know your name, but do you want to be on? Okay, so Eileen, go ahead. There's a microphone right there.
Hello, everybody, and thank you. I came to share with you our experiences in the first couple of weeks of our new program Upfront, which has been a lot of work, a whole lot of work on the part of everybody involved. You know, we hit the ground with just a few days of preparation. Wanted to share with you some of the guests that we were able to bring on. Robert Reich, live in the studio, talking about the economy. Antonia Juhas, live interview produced outside of the station, but live on the Chevron shareholders meeting. Dorsey Nunn talking about a lawsuit that was being filed later that very same day. A major human rights lawsuit for the prisoners at Pelican Bay who are basically being tortured in secure housing units. We had Sheriff Ross Mirkarimi on with us. I was actually doubtful he was going to do it yesterday because it was the day after the Eliana Lopez video had come out. We had prearranged the interview and allowed listeners to have a go at him as well and read some email comments from people. We had a report that Tina Boscherman had done for the Evening News on the North Bay race to replace progressive stalwart Lynn Woolsey. She went up there. She interviewed some of the leading contenders for the number two slot likely in that runoff, and then we followed that on with an interview with Pacific Sun, that's kind of the Bay Guardian of the North Bay, in a sense. And Sonali Kolhatkar, which we're really happy to bring her voice to the airwaves every morning. So We, as some people mentioned, do have plans and have talked to some of the unpaid staff at the station about being able to contribute in their areas of expertise. We want to get talk briefly to Frank about trying to get some apprenticeship involvement and internship. You know, we, aside from the apprenticeship program, the news department runs the only regularly scheduled training program. And we do rely on volunteers at KPFA, and we'll continue to rely on volunteers. And the news department actually has more volunteers in it than paid staff. But those volunteers need training. You know, they need good training. They need constant feedback. We tried somebody out after giving her probably about an hour of training on both technique and the technology and the editorial approach to doing a live report. Thank you, out at the Chevron shareholders meeting where she was out there with a Comrex. And for the first time out, she did a good job. But when she came back, we gave her the feedback, and actually between her first and second live reports, feedback about cut the ums, you know, try to be aware of those, and, you know, just how to approach it. And then a group of us gave her feedback when she came in to produce, you know, which is a little hard to take. She took it well. But that's what we're committed to continuing to do. So my time is up. Thank you for listening, and I'm just going to say one more thing, which is we are looking for segment ideas, local, state, politics, that's our focus, so you can email us at upfront@kpfa.org, you know, and I will leave it at that. I know I'm over time. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay, so we now, no more public comments? All right, we're ready to go on. I guess for the record, I should say that was Eileen Alfandary. I never said her. I usually say the full name of the purple. Yeah, everybody listening will know her voice. All right, so we're ready for the treasurer's report. Is the treasurer ready?
The treasurer's ready.
Okay.
Okay. Good morning, everybody, or good afternoon. Here, I'm passing out two things. One is a five-page profit and loss statement through April, and the other is a one-page, two-sided, some short notes, treasurer report type. And you've already seen this handout that Tracy passed around with the some analysis of the recent fundraising. There is a larger document, also from Chris Stelic, that I unfortunately don't have enough copies for everyone, but I will pass it around, and would you please write your name on it if you would like one of these? It's got not only comparing programs, but some, regular programs, but some particular shows that were done repeatedly during fundraising, like the Capitalism in Crisis and Alan Watts and stuff like that. So I'll pass it around, and then we'll get more copies if you sign on the back or something. And well, okay, Craig says he'll post it. I'll sit.
You don't have to put your name down.
All right, we'll do it electronically. I hope the big sheets will fit. That's often a problem when they're scanned. Okay, so now let's look at the profit and loss statement. Maria has reproduced the one that she gets from the national office. I don't know if you remember, but last year a few times she would try to adjust things and make it more understandable or include some information that was not obvious, but she's given up on that because we have run into so many problems of reconciling what her books say and what their books say, and it's not a fun process. And so I will tell you right off, if you'll look at the front page summary and skip down to line 30 where it says shared services. There are a number of errors in all across that line. And we analyzed the general records, general ledger and other records, and found which months were not accurate. And it's quite a lot, so I'm not going to try to go over that. We assume these will be corrected. They will need to be. In fact, yesterday, Maria received, and Andrew also, an email from Arlene saying that they wanted the payment of our central services immediately, and at least by Monday. And she attached some documents that came from the controller, which were had huge errors in them. And she wrote back explaining what the figures really were, and we did not, by 7:30 last night, we had not heard anything back. So it's quite obvious the National Office is worried about money to pay bills that they have to pay, and it's also obvious that Arlene is not being given accurate information. As I've reported before, there are many errors in the controller's records lately, particularly the payroll that's being filtered through her desk into the payroll office. So, that said, let's look at the first page, which is, as I've said, the summary. Now, a little while ago, Janet, you were asking about comparing salaries to programs for programs that had paid people on them. And if you look on under the salaries and related expenses, that is a total of all paid people. It does not break the salaries down by programs. It can be done. But in fact, it isn't the way the financial reports have been being made. And also, let's just follow that line. We'll see that as of April, the year to date is a little under what was budgeted for salaries. So we are not that far off at this point. And the other major variations, well, the CPB grant is listed here. It has not, as we've heard, been received. It's listed as far as what they expect to be coming in. I'm in favor of when we do have the new budget, I would hope that this LSB would press to make a change as far as where the depreciation is shown. And we all know that it's been shown as an actual expense in under the administrative category. That would be on line, let's see, where is that? 112 under administrative expenses. Maria has quite a lot of accounting experience, and she is recommending, and I agree with her, that we should have an actual reserve account under the capital part of the budget, and also divided into two. One that is kind of a fantasy, the way we have this now. We're not spending any of that money. We are trying to reserve it. But in fact, it is offsetting other overages in expenses. And she thinks that we could, in fact, hopefully, put away maybe $30,000 over the year of actual reserves, because our biggest problem is not having reserves. And I think she's right, and I think we should think about that in the future. Now, this one sheet thing that I sent around. The it's the back side, but anyway, it's the Heath bequest. This actually is a reserve, and it's kind of a tenuous one because, of course, it's I don't think there's any other station that has a reserve like this. We can't get at it and use it all, but we know the history that the national office had a similar amount, and because of financial difficulties, used it and have been extracting replenishments from all the stations to try to build it up again. But I'm happy that we've got this $460,000 now. It over seven quarters, you'll see that it built up and then it dropped a great deal in one quarter and it started to build up again. And if you look at the other side, this is the top section is a very brief summary of the kind of information that Tracy was handing out about the fundraising. And if you look at the amount that was actually raised, then you have to deduct the amount that went to KPFK and to Fresno. And what KPFA is actually ending up with is $610,000. And the historical fulfillment rate we've been experiencing is 89%, which means that we would probably get $543,000 unless we spend a great deal of effort following up on some pledges. And I know that there has been some effort to do that. The next little section is how much cash we've got in the bank or had in the bank on Thursday and the bills that were due at that point. And the last item is the brief part of the schedule for preparation of the budget for next year. And Maria and I have been working. There are problems again with the template, and it is very convoluted. Even Efren has changed things, and it's different even than last year. And we're starting to review things with the staff people who, you know, are responsible for the kinds of equipment and things that we need. So we expect to have a draft budget for the July meeting, which you all would have to vote on, and vote to change if you like. We are expected to have an LSB approved budget to the financial, the chief financial officer by the end of July. And there isn't another meeting in between there, so there will, however, be work done on it, on the budget, and a lot of it would be based on whatever you folks vote to change or keep the same or whatever. So I have one more little thing to pass out here, and that's relating to that process, the budget process. And it's a little exam. Just a minute here. This is just a quiz or I've called it a survey. And I've listed our expenses not identically to the type of things that show up in the categories that show up in the profit and loss statement, but categories that you will all recognize. The development department, the operations department, the apprenticeship program, the news department, public affairs programs, music programs, and management. And I would like everybody to fill out one of these, and the audience also, anybody in the audience. I just ask that if any of you in the audience give numerical ratings for these things, just write audience at the bottom. So I will, and I want to get these back today. And I've asked you to rank these seven things as, you know, budget priority and value to the station. I don't care how you rank them. If you want to put everything number one, I don't really care. Just figure it out the way you think of them. If you think there are three items that are all number two, fine. Just give me your top of your head ranking. And if you've got any comments, you can add there. Obviously, the public affairs programs is the biggest category. It's everything that isn't the news and isn't music. So just for the sake of understanding that. And on the other side of this little survey, I'm sure that everybody here has had from time to time some idea that they thought would make really good fundraising project or event. And I'd like you to describe it. You don't have to make a big, you know, this is not an application for a grant or anything. This is just a rent a movie theater and show all of the wonderful DVDs we sell, or you know, have a picnic and whatever. Anything that you think would be a very good idea. In fact, such a good idea that you would work on it. So we'll have a few minutes of silence for the tape recording right now while people fill out these little surveys, and then I hope you will be able to hand them back.
Well, I want to suggest that perhaps we take a break now. Is that all right with people? We have a break scheduled later, but let's take our 10-minute break now. People fill out Barbara's surveys, and then we'll come back and have the discussion about the treasurer's report. Huh? Oh, life is so hard. Okay. All right, so we're on a 10-minute break now. You all come back in 10 minutes.